Hey Pod Fam, this is Del from Learn to Like Each Other. This week we're going to be playing a retro throwback classic all the way from December 11th, 2018. Why aren't people having sex anymore? So yeah, this one's from back in the Two Peas in a Podcast day. And content warning, this one we're going to talk a lot about sex. So just so you know, just if you got little ones, maybe they're just really advanced. But just a heads up. So we'll get to that throwback episode right after this.
You know, I do know a few people who they weren't on the same timeline as their partner, but eventually they worked through it and struggled through it and they got there. So sometimes it's just something you kind of have to fight over or fight through and struggle through, but you can get there. But until you ask the question and figure out firmly what your partner wants, you're not going to know.
Mm-hmm.
So I think you need to ask the question and do it.
I think we provided some good wisdom, at the least.
Fair enough.
Good wisdom. But yeah, that's our P's and Q's. And we take the fun, we take the silly, but sometimes we have to take the difficult with us too, because that's what life's about, you know? And if you want to know more about life, we've got 87 episodes that you can listen to.
Whew, that's a lot.
Anywhere that you listen to podcasts, and we take good questions like this every single week, every single Tuesday here on Two Peas in a Podcast. So if you have a question for us next week, you know, we'll try to give you some amazing wisdom, and you can send that to us at contactppodcast@gmail.com. And question asker, hang in there. We'd love to get an update, and I hope things that work out for the best. Now I said for the best. So you know what that means?
The Split, where we take a relationship article torn from the headlines and talk about it.
So, you said that we're going to talk about, warning, sex, penises.
Well, not specifically penises, but sex.
Okay.
This article is from The Atlantic. It's written by Kate Julian. It came out this month, and it's called, Why Are Young People Having So Little Sex?
Very interesting. Off the top, young people, what do they mean?
What do you think they mean?
I would assume high school up.
Yeah.
I would think it would be, they would look frown upon doing research on like younger.
We're talking millennial and younger, but still age appropriate.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. So
this could be titled, Millennials Are Killing Sex.
Yes, we did it. We did it. Finally.
It's true.
Oh, boy. Okay, tell us how we did it.
So the article points out a few facts to give us an update on the topic of young people and sex.
Mm-hmm.
So it turns out American teenagers and young adults are having less sex.
Now, on one front, the teenagers part, because everyone's always like, teen sex and like teen pregnancy, and now that's a very bad thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so for a public health standpoint, I've heard that can be a good thing.
It's true. There's some goods, there's some bads. That's okay. Fair.
Mm-hmm.
So the pregnancy rate is down. So that's one of the positives, right?
Right.
So that's a true thing. And it could also be thought of as positive for some people that today's young adults are on track to have fewer sex partners.
Mm-hmm.
Fewer sex partners usually means fewer STDs,
mm-hmm.
stuff like that.
Those are good. That's good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fewer STDs, good thing. Lower pregnancy rate, good thing. And so the Center for Disease Control does a study called the Youth Risk Behavior Survey. And from 1991 to 2017, and I think we might have done another split on this,
mm-hmm.
they found that the percentage of high school students who had sex dropped from 54% to 40%.
That's incredible.
Yes.
That's a lot of no sex.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. I was trying to find a funny way to say that reduction, but nothing came to my brain. So another way that you can look at frequency of sex or whether teens mm-hmm. are having sex is through the general social survey.
Ooh, you got the eyebrows going. So
you
I know
I've mentioned the general social survey. And so between the 1990s and 2014, the average adult went from having sex 62 times a year to 54 times in a year.
Wow, that is also a decrease.
Yes.
And that's just a regular adult.
Yes.
So that part, what's up with that?
I know. It's interesting stuff, right?
It is interesting.
And then the author of this, Kate Julian, wrote to the person who did that initial general social survey research and said, but for 2016, mm-hmm. now that the study's a little bit dated, what can you tell me? And the author of that study said, just 2 years later, sexual frequency has gone down even more. So it's now lower than 54 times in a year.
Hmm.
I know.
What is, why? What's happening?
People are not taking two tickets to paradise.
Millennials, Netflix, being busy, have all killed it.
American cheese.
American cheese, napkins, millennials. That's all I got.
Jobs. College.
So what else? Tell me more about this story. Because we're finding not only are the teens having less sex, but it seems like everyone's having less sex.
So this article is really interesting. If you want to read the full thing in print, I think it would probably be 20-ish pages in a magazine.
Whoa!
So Kate does a really good job of she lists out five different reasons, but it's not really a listicle. Mm-hmm. She lists out five reasons, but then she really goes in depth on them. She gives a lot of good data, but then she also tells both sides around that data. In the interest of time, I thought I would pick two of the five reasons that she brought up.
Ooh.
But I wanted to list the topic name that she put it under because I thought that name she put it under was interesting.
Okay.
So the number one reason that she ends up discussing in the article is called sex for two.
Oh.
I know.
Interesting. As opposed to sex for...
It's sex for one, I think.
Also sex interesting. For one. Sex for... As opposed two? To the party platter.
Now I want to go back and check, but the article's so long by the time I get to it. So one of the things that she's found is that there's been a decline in couplehood among young people. We've talked about that before.
Yeah. Like people, well, because of the way the workforce and the economy is going, it's that putting off these relationships until they can get more established.
Yep.
Which is happening later in life because economy.
And so in addition to that, so the facts that she lists are all in addition to, not this fact, that fact. And one in three people live with their parents now, where previously people were living on their own.
And let's just be honest, it's less likely to get funky with your parents around.
Yeah, I hope so.
Getting funky, that's what they call it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, of course.
So then she kind of pivots here and she starts talking about masturbation culture.
Okay. Culture.
Culture.
Mm.
And she brings up masturbation culture in Japan.
Of course.
I know.
Of course.
So she spends a little bit of time talking about that. So if you want to read more about that in the article, I'd recommend going to the article to read into that a little bit more.
Sign me up.
But she gives another factoid that from 1992 to 2014... the share of American men who reported masturbating in a given week doubled.
Really?
To 54%.
Oh, I thought you were going to say 54 times a week, and then my head exploded. And then you reeled it back in, and I was like, okay.
Who has the time?
It's like, yeah, no wonder relationships are dying. Guys are like stuck to their chairs. Like, come on.
Why do your hands have all those calluses? And what are those wet wipes and lotion for? Weird.
Oh, goodness gracious. That would be terrible. Okay, since it's not that, 54% is a lot
higher
as well.
It's, yeah.
Yeah, significant. That's significant.
Well, I'm going to say this other factoid, and then I don't know where to go with it. And the share of women has more than tripled.
Ooh.
To 26%.
So that would have been like 8% before?
Give or take, yeah. So that isn't that interesting, though? Because men are at 54%, doubling. But even after tripling, women are still at half of what men are at.
Let's be honest. Men be horny too much.
Well, I think there's a lot that goes into that. But she says all this to say, one of the things that is likely happening is that masturbation has become a lot more common in society.
Okay.
And so who knows if that's impacting sex or sex is impacting that, or there's all these other factors going on. But that is true. The mm-hmm. data would show, and these different cultures across the world would show, that masturbation is becoming more common.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Yeah.
Very common. 27% more common.
And then she also, in this section, talks about porn a little bit. And in the article, she does a good job discussing it, because porn has become really common. Mm-hmm. But it turns out, she points out that there's no evidence that porn itself is addictive. That okay. you would start watching it and just become a porn addict.
Really?
Yeah.
Because I've heard that a lot. I'm addicted to porn. I'm addicted to this and that. And, you know some guys. I knew some guys. And I'm sure there's some women as well. And they're just like, porn all day, every day, all the time. And it's a problem.
Yeah,
but there's
so
something else at play usually in that, maybe.
It definitely can be a problem for some people. Mm-hmm. But she goes on to say that it can be a problem for some people. But just because you watch, I don't know, a clip, an episode, I don't know what to say here. Just because you watch porn once.
On this week's episode of porn.
I don't know. Just because you've watched porn once doesn't mean you're suddenly gonna
be an addict.
Yes.
Go up 52 times a week.
Exactly.
Okay.
But all in all, masturbation is playing a role in the reduction of sex with other people.
Okay.
Yeah.
Also makes sense.
Yes.
Interesting in the way that it happens, but once you're like, oh, that's what's happening, then it does make sense.
So it's a part of the bigger picture, mm-hmm. not everything. But then, so that's one of the five reasons. And then number four that I wanted to bring up, because it's something we'll probably never come up again.
Japanese masturbation culture.
Okay, that too. I don't have any more on that, but if you want to read more on the article.
Okay, okay.
Number four is painful sex.
Oh.
I know. So, again, she couches this in some interesting statistics. And one is that in 2002, 30% of women said they experienced pain the last time they had vaginal intercourse. And during anal intercourse, 72% of women said they experienced pain.
Hmm. Why do you think that is? Do you think it has to do with it's actually sex is hurting more? Or women are more confident in reporting it with more like body autonomy and things like that?
Well, this isn't talking about directionality. So it's not saying pain, the percentage of women reporting pain has increased or decreased. This is just a flat lay of the land. Mm-hmm. And this statistic is just saying a lot of women, 1 in 3 women, when they're having vaginal intercourse, experience pain.
Hmm.
Yeah. 1 in 3. Look to your left, look to your right. One of you is having pain during sex.
Hmm.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Line on the wall painting.
Oh, there's a lion on the wall. That's a painting. And so the other interesting factoid is that most women don't tell their partners about the pain that they're experiencing.
Yeah, I figured that was probably a thing.
Yes.
A sad but true thing.
Yes.
Hmm.
So, sad. And then something else that the article brings up is that porn has become, although it's probably not addictive, porn has become readily available, mm-hmm. readily accessible, and it would be ignorant to say that if there's an increase in frequency of it being watched, there isn't some behaviors being learned and thought of as something that could be adapted in day-to-day sex.
So, like, this is what I see sex is, so this is what I think it is.
Correct.
And so this is why I will recreate, because this is what sex is.
Correct.
Okay.
And so the article points out that there's some behaviors learned from porn that people are viewing.
Mm-hmm.
And so, trigger warning, like, this is where I'm going to talk about one detail.
Now we're getting into the stuff.
Yes. And so, one example that the article talks about is that choking has become more prevalent because mm-hmm. it's something that's really common in porn culture, I guess. Mm-hmm. So, men specifically are watching this in porn culture, And then they're integrating it into their sex lives with their partners because they're seeing it as normal.
Mm-hmm.
And so the author points out that she's talked to some women who have said that they've felt pressure from their partners or from something to emulate what porn actresses do.
Mm-hmm.
And so that might be like sounds or like certain behaviors that happen in porn. They feel like they're supposed to be able to do that.
Right. And as the person watching it and being like, this turns me on here, I want it here. You know, we try to recreate things in our life that we fantasize about. It makes sense, but it's very sad. And it also doesn't make sense because it's like, this is porn. This is not real. It's not supposed to be real, right?
Well, and that's an interesting question that I think that's worth talking about. Like, let's say this were an action movie and someone's getting shot. Would you then try to shoot someone? I mean, I know it's not a totally...
I've watched Batman. I know I cannot fight crime all day or all night and run a multi-million dollar business all day.
You're not Batman.
I don't have a butler named Alfred.
That's true. You don't.
But there's a difference between that and somewhere along the line in our media consumption, that and porn...
Are getting blurred a little bit. Because some behaviors are being seen in porn and then taken into private lives.
Interesting.
And so they think that one of the things that's causing that to happen is that there isn't good sex education.
Okay.
Because where people should be getting information about what's healthy and appropriate sexual behavior should be from a really good sex ed curriculum.
So little Billy not getting sex ed and how sex is supposed to work.
Yes.
But he's just watching a lot of porn.
Yes.
Where partners are getting choked on and gooshed on and all what kind of stuff.
Yes.
And that's what they end up thinking sex is about.
They end up thinking that that's normal. Yes.
Okay. All right. Well, I am now very pro sex education.
I know.
I mean, I was before, but I think that honestly, I would love for our children to learn about sex, not from porn.
I would prefer that as well.
I mean, unless it was like very educational porn.
These are the 12 statistics you need to know.
Like the Sesame Street of porn. I'm sure there's a Sesame Street porn that's just like.
Today, Big Bert teaches you how to put on a condom.
This
I
is
don't
the
know.
Letter D. Yeah, don't. Let's not. I don't know. Maybe that needs to happen. I don't know. We seem to be in a bad spot right now, and maybe we do need the Sesame Street of pornography. So I would challenge our creative listeners to get on that.
There's so many good puns right now. No pun intended, right? Yeah.
No, maybe.
Okay. So I wanted to close all of this with promising and enlightening and helpful statistic.
Okay.
In an article full of statistics, let's end on a high note. So in the study, they found that while hooking up with a new partner, so, you know, they say that there's hookup culture and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
They found that only 31% of men were able to reach orgasm and only 11% of women.
Huh.
However, by contrast,
it's 33% more than it was ever before.
Oh, it gets better.
Oh.
By contrast, when people were asked about their most recent sexual encounter in the context of a relationship, a partner you know, a partner you trust, a partner that you're with, frequently married to, etc., 84% of men and 67% of women said that they had an orgasm.
It's beautiful. It's crazy because people are like, oh, relationships aren't happening. Sex is, but it's like, listen, people, when it is happening, it seems to be happening really, really well.
Well, and here, like, there's hookup culture, but if you want to have a really sexually fulfilling relationship, the data would show that a partner that you have that's the same partner over time is more sexually fulfilling.
You know what? I knew that. I didn't even need the data. No. I knew that.
I knew that too.
You, me. Let's do this.
Mm-hmm.
How much time we got left? We gotta go.
I only need 3 minutes.
Oh, Stephanie, you have this like amazing way of threading the needle of a very touchy and complicated topic. And
touchy.
You're impossible. And like, I love how you're so smart. and you can talk about things smartly and dumbly all at the same time, and it's very enjoyable.
Is dumbly a word?
It is now. What is a word, really?
I love you.
I love you too, Stephanie. And thank you for that. And that was super enlightening to me. I think that was one of my favorite episodes. I really liked it.
The article was really, really good. There's a whole lot more there. I recommend reading it.
All right. Well, we can share that link out too for you all if you are interested in reading it. And again, if you have an article to share that you find interesting that you'd like us to crack open and see what's inside, we can totally do that. And also send us your questions for P's and Q's. This is Two P's in a Podcast, and you can reach us at contactppodcast@gmail.com. Thank you so much for listening. If you like the show, please share it with your friends. And if you didn't like the show, share it with your friends anyway and tell them, listen to these idiots. They're hilarious. And we really appreciate it. Give us a rating and a review, and we'll be back every Tuesday. Until the end of linear time, I think.
Probably.
Stephanie, is there anything else that you'd like to say before we go?
We hope that after listening to this podcast, you too learn that you can like each other. Very.
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 Much.
Much.
Hello, my name is Stephanie Belcher.
And I'm Del Belcher, and welcome to
Two Peas in a Podcast,
a relationship advice show from two people who like each other
very,
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 very, very much.
I listened to our podcast from last week, and I'm always trying to think of new ways I can use intonation on the intro to make it sound like a new podcast.
Two people who... Oh, intonation, not... Is that intonation? The wrong emphasis on the syllable. Is that intonation?
Stephanie Belcher.
Welcome to Two Peas in a Podcast.
Basically.
You did good.
Thanks. I'm trying.
I should expect that to happen, but I just never do. It always catches me off guard, Stephanie.
So, Delbert.
Yes, Stephanie.
What is new in the world, the land, the dreamscape of Belcher?
The dreamscape of the Belcherscape, which sounds terrible. Oh, here's what's new. My world has just been rocked this weekend by an invention that I'm sure has been around for a while, but it is something that has taken me to a new level of existence, a new level of knowledge, and a new level of being. It's the All Corners Brownie Pan.
Oh, yes, that's right.
We got a Christmas holiday gift from our friends Dan and Amanda. And let me tell you, brownies might be one of my favorite things that have ever been invented.
As they should be for most people.
The hot air balloon, the combustion engine, the All Corners Brownies pan.
Batteries. People really underestimate the impact of batteries on this world. I'm telling you.
Hot air balloons, batteries, the All Corners. Those are the only three things that matter. Mm. And the combustion engine. That's all that matters. And like, do I even have to explain it? It's a tray that makes brownies in each 9 separate, perfect.
Well, there's 12. But we only had enough batter for 9.
12 perfect little brownies that are all edges. Just little squares.
They were real good.
Perfection, decadence, chef's kiss. Mwah. It was the best brownie I've ever eaten.
They were real good. Everyone was real happy.
It's almost as if I hadn't lived yet.
Yeah, and then I had one of these brownies. I can't disagree with that.
And you, though, were skeptical. At first,
I was.
You were like, I don't even like the edges of a brownie. And
I'm not. I go for the middle. I take the full 9x13 pan, scrape the sides off, and I'm good with the soft, gooey center. Mm-hmm. But these were fantastic. Everyone had to.
Now, and this isn't one of those, like, as seen on TV. I've seen the on scene on TV one that's like an S shape that goes like back and forth because it gives you like corners on each piece, but you only get two edges.
Mm.
Three at the most. This is all four. I would sing its praises all day, but I know that we've got people to help and business to take care of. But literally, this brownie just changed my life. My paradigm has been shifted.
I think
shifted.
We can stop talking about it. I'm sick of talking about it.
Well, what's happened new with you? So, what's new with you?
Well, this is Two Peas in a Podcast.
I'm going to white knuckle this thing back on track, baby.
It's a relationship show from two people that like each other very, very much. One of them loves staying on topic. The other is willing to talk about anything for any amount of time.
Mm-hmm.
The first part of our show is P's and Q's, where we take a question from your pod squad and we talk about it. Then the second part is the split, where we take a relationship article torn from the headlines and talk about it.
And what you might not know about P's and Q's is I don't think we're just talking about it. We're helping people. We're changing lives. We are changing how relationships are formed and kept and broken all across the world.
I'm too humble to say that. But if you have to tell people you're humble, you're not really humble. So I guess I'm just a hypocrite.
You're also the best at being humble.
Yep. Ugh, inside
joke.
Can
you tell me how good you are at being humble?
Shut up. We have this inside joke where I try not to say, I don't think I say I'm good at a lot of things.
Stephanie, let's be real. The people listening, they belong, they're on the inside. If you're listening, you're a part of our life and our inside jokes.
So I don't think that I say that I'm good at a lot of things, but John, the college student that's living with us, I guess Dell would say to him frequently, hey, you know what Steph's real good at?
I'm just singing your praises because you're amazing.
And then he would say, Steph's really good at this or really good at that. And now it's just turned into every single day there's something where Dell and John look at each other and they say, hey, you know what Steph's real good at?
Honey, it's only because we honor you. Mm-hmm. With our verbal compliments.
I didn't even start this thing. I wasn't even like, you know what I'm great at? Resumes. Send me your resume.
But you are. He was working on a resume. And I said, hey, John, you know what Stephanie's really good at? And he'd be like, what? I'm like, resumes. Anyway. And now it's just a running, it's, I wouldn't say a joke because it's still true.
It's a joke.
You're very good at a lot of things is what exactly. I've realized.
Thanks.
So yeah, P's and Q's.
Oh.
You know what Stephanie's really good at? Keeping us on track.
Oh, well, this is kind of off track, but in my part, when we get to the split, word of warning, we're going to be talking about an adult topic, not death or taxes.
Laundry.
The third. The fourth.
Penises. Oh, penises. So, well, I thought it was just piss.
No. So we're going to acknowledge and talk about sex. So if that's something that you don't want around your children, or if it makes you uncomfortable, then listen to the first part and then join us back here next week.
Because we're going to get real uncomfortable.
No, I don't think it. I think we handle all adult themes, including death and tax as well. But I just want to give people a word of warning.
You know what Stephanie handles really well?
Oh, shut up.
So P's and Q's is where I take a question from the pod squad, which is y'all. So thanks for listening and sending in your questions. If you have questions for the future episodes, please send them to us. I will read them with my own eyes at contactppodcast@gmail.com. You can also join in the pod squad conversation where everything's posted in our Facebook group at facebook.com/groups/ppod. Cast. First question today is, help, my wife is coming to get me. Oh no, oh no, oh no. Step back, Stephanie. Step back,
you
Stephanie.
You know, that's real good at me.
Okay, for realsies this time. Are you ready?
Yes.
Let's go. I have been in a relationship for about 3.5 years. I'm not sure if my partner feels the same as I do. I'm open and tell her my feelings about being with her now and long term. The problem is that when we talk about long term relationships, she states that she can see us being together for a long time, but you never know what will happen in the future. She never talks to me about the possibility of marriage or where she wants to be in this relationship without stating anything can happen. I do love her, but I feel that I might be wasting my time in the relationship. Since she doesn't seem to feel the same way that I do about long-term stuff, I'm wondering if maybe it's time to move on. Dun, 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 dun.
Sad face? That's a sad question.
It's a sad question.
That makes my little heart feel sad.
But that's what we do here, Stephanie. We take the struggles and strife of the world and spin them into golden opportunities for joy. And that could be together as a couple or not in this case.
So, you know the first thing I think of?
What?
So, I've probably brought this up before, but there's this guy I went to college with.
Is he the pro wrestler guy?
That's grad school.
Okay. Oh, okay.
And his name was John. And he was talking about how he and his girlfriend were dating about 3 years. Mm-hmm. And she wanted to break up with him. And she made, or no, he wanted to break up with her. And he was an economics major.
Oh, so he had all the facts of, like, why it was financially fungible for them to stay together.
Well, she came with a list of pros and cons for why they should or shouldn't break up. And they'd been together a while. And because he's an economist, he said the whole time he was just thinking, as she was talking, and he wanted to break up with her, sunk cost, sunk cost, sunk cost, sunk cost.
That's really funny and terrible.
Yeah. So I think the hard part is when you've been together that long.
You've invested.
Yeah.
Think about it. Think about what you've invested. But again, he has invested. And she's like saying, I don't know about this investment. I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah.
So what do you do with that, economist?
What would you do?
Well, I think it depends on a lot of different things. A lot of different factors go into this equation. And I do think that him asking the question is very, like, reasonable and real. I mean,
I think so.
You say you're together with someone, and you're like, hey, let's take this to the next level. And maybe the person that you're with is just not there. Maybe they have some past thing where a long-term relationship is difficult for them, where they do love you, and maybe they just show their affection to you in other ways. Maybe this aloofness is just kind of part of what was attractive to you in the first place. I feel that eventually you do need to have, like, a heart-to-heart conversation. Or just say, or you could solve it by just, like, it's, you know, Christmas is coming up. Christmas Eve, I've seen the movies. Perfect time in front of all of your family to ask her to marry you.
Don't even have a conversation about it. You know who I never feel sorry for?
The guy at the sports game who gets denied.
Totally. I'm like, yes, you've never had this conversation about marriage, and now you're doing this in front of 60,000 people.
I do worry when people are like, I was surprised. I feel that if you are surprised if someone asks you to... This is a different topic. If someone is surprised to be asked to be married, that's not a good sign.
I know. I feel like marriage is something that you can kind of plan for and have a little prep time.
Honestly, maybe she's just not into that. Maybe it's just the security of having you around is enough for her. Maybe she can settle down and be with someone long term, but maybe this is just how she processes. Everything is just kind of like, maybe. But for a relationship, a long-term adult like relationship, I feel like you can make that happen, but it's very hard to make a relationship work with that caveat of, I don't know, all the time. That's terrifying. And I personally don't feel that you should really have to deal with that. And maybe you'll have, I wouldn't say wasted your time because you've learned, you've grown, you've become a better person. But maybe it is time to actually move on.
Well, I think when it comes to relationships like that, specifically dating, in economic terms, sometimes there is a sunk cost where you will invest a large amount of time in something and then that venture just doesn't ever take off. I guess what I'm saying is I'm agreeing with Dell that I think you need to have a conversation about it with your significant other where you say, I would really like to get married and I'd like to get married in the next year. Can you let me know in the next month or two if that's something that you want to do?
Do you think that this part is too extreme for them to be like, listen, I need a yeah, I can see this, or a no, or else we're gonna have problems?
Like, if you want to get married and that's something that's non-negotiable and the person that you're with is non-committal, I think for your own sanity, it's time to cut it off. Mm-hmm. If they're not willing to give you a firm commitment within a reasonable amount of time.
Do you think that it's okay then to draw those hard lines of like, hey, in a relationship, this is what's happening?
Do you think
that, yeah?
I feel like it's perfectly okay to say, I want to get married and you want to, it doesn't matter what you want to get married. You want to get married. That's mm-hmm. okay. And yeah. if your partner doesn't, that's okay too. But I think you need to come to an agreement and come to some kind of timeline for what works for both of you. And mm-hmm. I think you can both be flexible on that. But if your partner doesn't want to get married and getting married is important to you, that relationship probably needs to end, I think.
Yeah. Well, it's not even marriage. It could be other stuff, work stuff, moving stuff, family stuff.
Yeah.
It could be like if two people want to be so intertwined in their lives, I'm feeling very passionate about this, intertwined with their lives and an end goal, like we're going to die together. Like that's not something that, not in like some crazy like pact, but like of old age, because we've been married for a very long time. If that end goal isn't in the same place for the two of you, then you're not going to get there together. You know, maybe right now goals you're accomplishing, but that down the road thing that you want to accomplish together, whether it's marriage or some sort of thing, if you don't both want to be there, then maybe you should go somewhere else.
Yeah, I think that's why I got sad, because –